My name is Matthew Kish, and you're listening to the Runway 19er podcast. In today's episode, I'm going to be talking about the differences between Part 61 flight school and Part 141 flight school, as well as my experiences doing both of them. All right. I hope you guys liked the little intro thing I made. So, a brief explanation on like this podcast and why I decided to make it. This is probably the only episode I'm going to have that I do alone. I'm planning to have guests on and do episodes with my roommate. He's also a pilot as well. I go to a collegiate Part 141 flight school, and I'm working on stage 2 of my instrument rating at the time of making this episode. I completed my private in high school and then decided to go to university to do my instrument, commercial, multi, CFI, you know, all the things. Next week, I am having an A10 mechanic come on the podcast, somebody who goes to college with me as well, but is also in the National Guard, the Air Force National Guard, and works on the avionics on A10 Warthogs. So tune in for that next week. I decided to make this podcast because I was getting a little bored with just aviation itself. I feel like there was only so much to just the mundane training and studying. I kind of wanted to experience it in a different way. So I thought talking about it, kind of laughing about things with friends and just doing this as like a fun little side hobby would be a cool thing to upload to the internet. And maybe I can go meet and interview some new people, network, you know. Do that, maybe even entertain people along the way if that's possible. My aviation background and my aviation story isn't super long. I only have my private, still working on the instrument rating, stage 2, you know, almost done. I started flying actually in high school, but my passion for it goes a little before high school. I kind of knew I wanted to be a pilot from a young age. It was always really, really interesting to me. You know, I would watch YouTube videos about it. But I think the moment that it really kicked off was when I went to my airport's local airport day. I'm originally from the Indy South Greenwood Airport, which is about 10 nautical miles to the southeast-ish of Indianapolis. It's a non-towered airport with a 5,100-foot runway, and about every year, they host something called Airport Day. So I was in eighth grade at the time, and I went with my parents, and this guy had a bonanza there, and he was doing these Young Eagle flights. The EAA, Experimental Aircraft Organization, does these things called Young Eagle flights, where you get to go, basically, I mean, without making too much of it, you basically just go one lap in a traffic pattern. And so I went up in this guy's bonanza, and from the moment he started the engine, it was just the coolest thing to me. I found his avionics really interesting. He had a semi-glass cockpit. I always thought it was just like round dials and knobs and stuff. Pretty much from the moment the wheels lifted off the ground, I just kind of was hooked on it. At that point, it was maybe I'll have to get a real job, you know, because I'm not smart enough to become a pilot, and maybe I can own a plane of my own someday or something. I didn't have a lot of confidence in myself at the time that I could be a pilot. My grades were in school, you know. I always thought you had to be super smart. You don't have to be super smart to be a pilot. You can have like a moderate to decent GPA, still become a pilot, which I always tell people when they say, oh, I'm not smart enough to do it. I'm not good at math. You don't have to know math. But from there, I got into flight simulation. I downloaded X-Plane because I got a MacBook Pro. So I got X-Plane 11, and I started teaching myself like a ton of things. The EAA later on helped me with my aviation journey because they were hosting a ground school. So this was about a year later. I'd done some flight simulation and whatnot. I went to my local airport again and discovered that the EAA was hosting a ground school. It was like, I think, 10 weeks long or something like that. And the goal of the ground school was to help you prepare for the private FAA written. I didn't end up taking the written at the end of the course. I waited a while to take the written for God knows why. I wish I'd taken it way earlier. But in that ground school class, I learned a lot still, and I made a lot of long-lasting friends. Hopefully, a few of them I can have on the podcast as well. And that was really, really fun. I actually ended up doing the ground school a couple times because I was still a little young to actually begin flight lessons without like wasting money. I didn't want to be going and doing flight lessons as like a freshman and sophomore in high school. When I started flying, that was junior year of high school. I had just gotten my driver's license, and the first week after I got my driver's license, I started taking flight lessons, which was the most fun thing I'd ever done in my life. I really, really knew from that point, like, okay, this is it. Like, I have to do this. This is like a possible thing. So I got my private at a small flight school that flew Cessna 172s at this non-towered airport with 5,100 feet of runway. The flight school offers 141 instruction for instrument and commercial, but they also have 61. I don't think they offer a private that's 141, but I ended up just doing part 61. Part 61 was a better decision for the time. I don't know if I was really mature enough for part 141. I was kind of going out there and doing flight lessons, but I don't know. I was really, really scared to take the written for some reason, and I had a few drawbacks in my life that kind of hindered my progress for about a month or so. I went through a bit of a bumpy time for a little bit, so I stopped flying for a month, a couple months after starting, and then the summer of 2022, I really got back into it, and then I soloed for the first time. And then after soloing, I kept flying for a little while. And then I did my private FAA written, and then I scored a 92 on that. And then like a month or two later, I did my check ride. So one of the things that's better about part 141 is I wouldn't have tripped constantly along the way like I did with part 61. And I could have probably done the rating for $5,000 cheaper or maybe even more. The main thing about part 141 is it would have taken a while. It took me over a year of time to get my private. Granted, I was flying every few weeks, which was, you know, unacceptable. You can't be flying every 2 weeks while you're getting a private. You need to be going once a week or more than once a week. Sometimes I was even taking like one flight every 3 weeks when the weather got really bad. I don't know if there's a time limit with part 141, like if you have to do it in a certain amount of time, but part 61, I was just kind of fending for myself. Another thing about part 61 is that you are in charge of your own ground instruction, which I actually found beneficial for me for part 61, and here's why. So still, if you're doing ground school and you're doing part 141, you're in a ground class or you're doing online courses that they make you take, I feel like there's still a lot of self-study. But when I did part 61, I had to learn to be responsible for my own self-study and whatnot, which weirdly enough helped me actually in school. About the time that I started my private, a little after, I started doing really, really well in school because I had to start teaching myself. But that was a really, really cool thing. So I go to a college that has a part 141 program. I kind of decided on this place a long time ago. When I was a sophomore just doing that EAA ground school, I went and toured here, and then from that point I just knew I had to be here. So in August, when I moved into my dorm, you know, settled in and whatnot with a friend who also flew at the flight school with me, he's my roommate now, I started flying here. So at the college I'm at, we have Diamond DA-20s and Diamond DA-40s. So you have to do stage one of instrument and a DA-20. and you have to do a little bit of stage two in the 20 and then a diamond DA 40, which I actually just moved to the DA 40 a few weeks ago. It's been an amazing plane to fly. It's been a lot of fun. I really like the G1000 in it. It's so much fun. I'm glad I didn't get my private on a G1000 though. It certainly would have been a little harder to go back to a round dial plane, but yeah. Part 141 has been a bit of a struggle, or it was at first. Just how structured it was made it really boring to me. I used to go have flight lessons with my instructor where we would just like do stalls and zero G's the whole time, and there was no hood, and there was definitely no curriculum. It was just a lot of fun for the most part. I had probably too much fun while getting my private, actually, but with part 141, it's very by the syllabus, by the rubric, by this, by that, and that has definitely made things a little more boring just in the beginning. Stage one of instrument itself is just maneuvers and basically just private review. And me being a little rusty, having gotten my private in the very early spring and then going to college in, you know, the fall, I was like struggling with the new plane and having to basically redo all these weird maneuvers that I hadn't done since, you know, March. Like the steep turns in the 172 are really, really easy because you can just use three rolls of trim. But in a DA-20, it's a lot harder because you actually have to, like, coordinate yourself and whatnot. Part 61 relies mostly on just you and you yourself taking accountability for studying, for doing good, for flying consistently, whereas 141, you kind of have your hand held the whole time. The main difference between Part 61 and 141 I can think of, besides just 141 being a little more rigorous, is the stage checks, which, oh my gosh, I hate stage checks. I mean, I don't think anyone really likes stage checks or ends up liking stage checks, but I hate stage checks with a passion. Like miniature check rides, and they're really hard at the university I go to. So stage one of instrument is the only stage check I've done, so I can't really talk too much about stage checks. Maybe my bias will go away over time, because, you know, stage one of instrument is the only judgment for them, really, is not that much. So stage checks in part 141 are like miniature check rides, and they suck. There's specific areas of knowledge you'll have in a ground evaluation that they'll orally quiz you over, just like a check ride. And then you go up with that same instructor or a different instructor, and you fly specified maneuvers. There's usually a curriculum page you can look at, just like the ACS. It's not that hard to know what's on it. You can generally ask people for a gouge of like what the instructor will ask. It goes instructor to instructor, like, oh, you know, this instructor likes to ask more about systems. So that's not awful. The ground is usually not super hard, but, you know, especially when you get to stage three, I've heard from students that are, you know, at a higher place than me that they're harder than the actual check ride for stage three because they want you to be so ready for the check ride, which in reality is probably a good thing, but, you know, during the moment of having to prepare and do it, it probably sucks, which I'll have to experience here in a couple months when I'm wrapping up my instrument rating. I'm hoping that I can have my instrument rating done in 2 to 3 months. Right now, my college is on winter break, so I've been able to fly a lot. A lot of my friends and fellow students have gone home for winter break. I actually decided to stay out in the city that my university is in for a lot of winter break while the Flight Academy is still open and continue flying, which has been great. I feel like getting more into stage two of instrument where I'm still wearing the hood, but I'm starting to do the fun stuff like ILS approaches and, you know, doing holds, which I actually think I think those are fun, weirdly. You know, a lot of people would disagree with me. Doing those things and kind of really beginning to develop a practical application with instrument has made it a lot more fun. I feel like in the first part of instrument, you kind of get depressed and your little aviation spark starts to go away because of how just boring and mundane it feels. But once stage two begins, it's not bad. I would begin to recommend part 61, though, for certain personality types. One of the main things that I've seen is people drop out of the program because they hate 141 so much. One of my buddies on my dorm floor entered the Flight Academy with me, came to the same college and whatnot, but part 141 was not for him at all. Granted, him and his instructor really didn't get along at all. And he moved over to the Part 61 flight school next door, and he's having a complete blast now. I think Part 61 is definitely more for free-spirited people who are just, you know, they want to go have a little bit of fun as well. They don't like tests and quizzes and a lot of high volume of curriculum. I think it's just as successful, and it's not, you know, it's not less to get an instrument rating or a private from a Part 61 school versus a 141, but I definitely think the structure and way you get it is definitely different in a lot of ways, and Part 61 could be viewed as easier in some ways on more of like a practical personal side versus like a practical side of like, oh, you know, I think you're still doing the same things, you know, I'm still going and flying the same approaches as my buddy, I'm still conforming to the same ACS, we still have the same exact check ride with maybe the same, you know, DPE and the almost same amount of time. However, his takes longer. Another big advantage of Part 141 that cannot at all go missed is the hour requirements. So my buddy, who is getting his instrument rating through Part 61, has to do 50 hours of cross-country time. 40 hours in actual or simulated, 15 of which must be in an aircraft, and then obviously the 250 nautical mile cross country. 50 hours of cross country time is a lot, and you know, getting that 40 hours, which I guess can also be part of the cross country but not all of it, in actual or simulated is a lot too. That's a lot of flying. You're paying a lot more for a Part 61 instrument rating because you're having to go up more and you're having to just do more. Part 141 is just 35 hours of dual instruction, which is, in my eyes, a lot better. I like to kind of save money where I can in aviation. It's very hard. You know, it's almost like an oxymoron saving money in aviation. How's that even possible? And that's one of the main advantages about Part 141. I think it's easier to save money over time because you have less hours that you're doing. Yes, Part 61, the plane might be, you know, $25 to $50 cheaper an hour. However, you know, I'm having to fly way less than Part 61. So, you know, in my eyes, debatably, I think Part 141 is a better option for past private. I'm thankful I did my private at a Part 61 school. I don't know if I would have really succeeded in a Part 141 the way I would have in a 61. I had a lot of fun in 61, but Part 141 just not as much. I kind of do wish sometimes though that I was at a 61 school, because like, yeah, 50 hours of cross-country time is inconvenient and expensive, but like, it has been a long time since I've just gone and done a really, really fun cross-country flight. Like, a long time. I'd kill to go do that again. I'm able to go do some cross country soon for the curriculum I'm doing. I think I'm actually gonna have a few extra spare hours I can do whatever I want with at the end of this stage, because you have to get a specified amount of hours for each stage too. It's not just 35 hours of dual, it's 35 hours of dual, but stage one must have 10 hours in the plane and 5 hours in the sim. I don't know if that's the exact number, but it works like that. So I might go on a few cross countries or something, you know, at the end of my stage. I think my buddy made the right decision for himself though. You know, definitely Part 61 has its advantages for sure. And he just seems a lot happier there too. I think Part 141 and Part 61 just requires two different types of people. You know, if you're just more into flying for flying, you know, Part 61 is the option to go to. But I don't know. I really enjoy ground as well. I love learning, like, a lot about flying. So Part 141 hasn't been that hard. Another thing about Part 141 is it generally can be divided into two types. Part 61 generally is just that smaller FBO that's at an airport, you know, flight school, like an LLC or something does it. Whereas 141, there's different types of 141. I think college 141 is very different from actual flight academy 141s, like Lyft Academy in Indianapolis, or there's another one in North Carolina that uses diamonds as well. Just schools like that are different than colleges. In college 141s, which I do, it's more so you're having to go do the ground instruction required as like a class, and you can take that class off as part of a degree, which I'm working on. I'm doing professional aviation flight technology as well as aviation management as like a fallback for if my medical gets, God forbid, taken. So you're having to do an actual college class. Whereas if you go to Lyft Academy or somewhere like that, you're having to do like an online course or just ground school. I definitely think before you go and choose what type of flight school you want, I think it's always worth it to go do private at 61 just to understand how aviation works itself and just go have fun. I mean, Part 141 private is good, and you know, you may be a little older and like you may be right on the brink of college and 141 private may be your only option or something, but I would definitely recommend just go get your private one or 61 just as it's more of a fun thing. But I think 141 definitely in my eyes, I think debatably a better option just because the less hours and whatnot required. Another thing about 141, very important to note, is the restricted ATPs. So if I decided to go get all of my ratings through 61, you know, flew every single day, you know, whatnot, found some super cheap plane deal, part of a flying club or something, and I saved all this money, I would have to go get 1,500 hours, though, to get my ATP or airline transport pilot's license, you know, when I want to eventually go to the regionals or, you know, like a corporate carrier or something like that, which I want to do so bad. Whereas a lot of these 141 programs, you can get this restricted ATP and go to the airlines at 1,000 hours. Some of my flight instructors and whatnot at the 141 school, right at 1,000 hours, they're able to go work for Republic, Envoy, you know, places like that. And it's just amazing. There's two types of restricted ATPs. Depends on the degree you actually get. So I'm getting a Bachelor's of Science in this ProFlight Professional Aviation Flight Technology degree, and I'm able to go to the airlines at 1,000 hours. However, if I went to a college, I'm going to use Vincennes University as an example. I don't know if any of the listeners, you guys, have heard of that. They offer an associate's degree, which is a two-year degree. And the downside of that is they have to do 1,250 hours, which is still, you know, better than 1,500 by a long shot, but, you know, still an extra 250 hours versus, you know, that four-year degree. I think it's definitely worth looking into, though. Part 61, Part 141, there's always a debate on it. A lot of people will, like, just trash talk 61 so easily and call the people dumb, or, you know, Part 141 pilots don't know this and that about aviation. It's definitely worth looking into. I think there's pros and cons with both, you know. I think it also depends on, like, who you are as a person, you know. If you're just more, you know, free-spirited, you don't want to wear a uniform for the longest time, you just kind of want to experience, you know, flying more, I think 61's better. But if you're just like me, where it's like, oh my God, I want to go to the airline super fast, so bad, you know, this and that, I think 141's definitely better for you. I don't think one is necessarily harder than the other, though, for sure. I had a while, like 6 months, in between my private and coming to college where I was able to just be a private pilot, which was really nice. And I think that's something to mention with 141 versus 61, weirdly. So the 141 people I know who got their private at the university that I'm at, they have never, ever just gone and had leisure flights. I know a lot of people who have just done flight lessons or check rides. And to me, that just like, that breaks my heart, you know. You can obviously go get checked out at a 61 school, and I know some people who have, but it just absolutely breaks my heart that, you know, some of these people didn't get to just go have fun. My roommate and friend Mason flew at this Part 61 school with me when I went to high school. We actually met in my high school English class, weirdly, on the first day. I wore an Embraer shirt into class, and we were doing like an icebreaker activity to meet your new classmates like junior year of high school, and he commented on the shirt and was like talking to me about the shitty weather outside that day. That's a whole entire story I'll have to do when he comes on. I'm hoping he can co-host the podcast with me. But over the summer, I was able to just go fly around with him and just have fun. We would go on cross countries. We would fly around our hometown, you know, go pull zero Gs and, you know, fly over our friends' houses and stuff. And that was so much fun. You know, we were able to just go do fun stuff like that. Part 61, when I hang around the flight school, I can go just, you know, do relocation flights for maintenance and whatnot. And it's just a more laid back environment. But most of all, I was able to just go have fun and experience aviation. I think those are memories that I'll have the rest of my career, you know, going on stupid cross countries and just like, you know, flying friends and family around too. It was one of my proudest achievements like ever in my whole life when I was able to go take my mom up for the first time. That was just awesome to me, you know, lift the wheels off the ground and, you know, she was, you know, clutching the damn seat for dear life, you know, but that was just a lot of fun. But definitely an advantage of 61. You can just go use the plane for what you want, whereas generally 141, the policies don't let you go and just have leisure flights after you get your private before you get your instrument. My university has standard operating procedures, or SOPs, that you must follow. They contain everything from what you have to wear as a uniform out to the airport to procedures inside the airplane. But one of the things it says is that you cannot have anyone else in the plane with you besides your instructor or a student who's getting the same degree as you. So theoretically, if I'm flying the 40, the four-seater, and I have, you know, my instructor beside me, we're doing a lesson, Mason, my buddy and roommate, can go sit in the back and, you know, observe the lesson or something. And that's cool. But, you know, I can't rent a 20 and take my mom up or take my friends up or something, which definitely a drawback. That's, you know, one of the pros about 61. If you're a Part 141 student, you know, props to you as well. I'm sorry. But, you know, fellow 141 students, if you've never gone and just rented a plane and taken your friends and family up, I know it's really expensive, but do it. It is so worth every single penny, especially, you know, take your parents or siblings up for the first time. Worth every single penny. I think there's a lot of aviation, you know, training that you do and whatnot, but at the end of the day, there still needs to be, you know, fun with it, and it's good to remind yourself why you are there and how passionate you are about it, because at the end of the day, you don't want it to just turn into a job or school or anything like that. I had a little bit of a burnout in the fall during stage one of instrument. I wasn't excited to go fly. I wasn't picking up extra flight slots. I just would come back to the dorms, do the minimum amount of work I needed to maintain my A's and just, you know, get by for the next flight lesson. I wouldn't do extra studying for the stage check or anything. And I would just sit there. And I realized that this was such a big issue when I was about to go to the airport for one of my flight slots. And I told one of my friends by the elevator to go down the dorms. I was like, well, I don't want to go fly, you know. And, you know, the door's closed. He's like, well, good luck. Try to have fun. Door's closed, the elevator, and I'm on the way down, and I'm like, what the hell? I am not excited to go fly. That's a big issue. So I went home, and I rented a 172 and flew that thing around with no hood. You know, I would hope not under VFR solo, but, you know, flew it around. And, you know, I talked on the Unicom and, you know, eventually went up with a friend that same day. And that's when I realized, you know, this is why I'm so crazy about it. You know, this is part of it too. I need to learn to have fun as well. And since then, I've just felt so refreshed and reminded and thankful of why I'm in aviation and whatnot. So part 61 versus 141, they're very different. 141 is more rigorous. There's stage checks and stuff in it. Definitely, you can view that as an advantage or a disadvantage. Me personally, I mean, just because I hate them so much, you know, I hate them, but I love them. I view them as an advantage. I think they're great, but you definitely have to pick the 141 that's right for you as well. And then obviously 141 versus 61. 61 is just as great, and you get to go have fun for 50 hours of cross country, which, you know, I wish I could do, but, you know, definitely a more financially smarter option to go to 141 in my opinion. But just go have fun, go fly, and yeah, definitely. I hope that this episode was not too much of a train wreck as my first episode. Next week, I am going to have my friend on. So my dorm building has these two floors that are dedicated to just aviation and aviation management majors. And in the fall, one of my friends named Jeb moved in. So Jeb is part of the Air Force National Guard Reserves, as well as going to college for pro flight and aviation management. His job at the Air Force Reserves is to install and fix avionics units on A-10 Warthogs, which is so cool. I'm hoping that next week I can get kind of more of a military aviation stance, you know, talk about why that's a good option. Also expand on, you know, the whole getting your education paid for. Aviation's expensive as hell. And if you're someone looking for ways to pay for that large bill that is aviation, I'm hoping I can get Jeb to talk about that. Awesome guy. He's also viral on TikTok. He has a TikTok with 12,000 followers. He has a few videos with over 1 million views. One of them I actually filmed for him. He likes to show off all his military gear and whatnot and just make funny, lighthearted videos. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed episode 1 of the Runway 19er podcast. This podcast is called the Runway 19er podcast because back at my home airport, the Indy South Greenwood Airport, usually the winds would come in from the south, so you would always land on runway 19 at that airport. So, you know, you'd always say runway 19 holds a special little place in my heart. So thought I'd name the podcast after the runway 19. Anyways, hope you enjoyed. Hope you tune in for the next episode. That has been it for the Runway 19 podcast, 19er podcast, episode 1.